Trade Commissioner, welcome to Conversation With.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Is the EU heading towards a trade war with the US?
I certainly not hope so. Trade war is not good for the world. But we are concerned about some protectionist signs that are coming from the US and now recently about steel and aluminium, where they might put high tariffs or penalties on several countries in the world, including EU, and that would be damaging to our industry, of course.
Some EU officials actually are talking about, you know, the reverse, putting on some sort of tariffs of anything from Harley Davidsons and so on. Is everybody just posturing, or are we really talking about tit for tat, which would be extremely damaging?
Yes, it would. But on the other hand, if the US are imposing tariffs or penalties on us for what they call security reason, whereas we in the European Union, we are partners in security, we are members of NATO, we work together and we do not pose a threat to US aluminium or steel production, then of course we will seriously have to examine that, and we might need to take retaliatory measures depending on how hard they hit us.
So the EU would be willing to take retaliatory measures?
We would, if necessary, yes.
And what is the if necessary? When does that point come when you'll be willing to do that?
We will wait if he takes measures and what kind of measures he takes against the European Union. And if we judge them unproportionate, then we will have to take measures.
But Trade Commissioner, can the EU take the lead when America seems to be moving into a anti-globalization track?
Well, we would very much like to work with our American friends on setting the rules and shaping globalization. If they don't want to engage, if they're looking more inwards, as they seem to be doing for the moment, we are engaging with a lot of other partners across the world, here in Asia, but also in Latin America, in Africa. Many countries are turning to us to want to work with us, want to make trade agreements. And as I said, there is a circle of friends and allies growing. Here in Asia, you do a lot of trade agreements with each other bilaterally or regionally. That's a good thing, and we see the same tendency all across the world, because countries want to show that trade is a good thing, and that trade is not to blame for the problems that are also coming from
President
from globalization.
Trump would disagree with you, but...
Yeah, maybe he would, but...
So do you think, though, that this means that the EU and possibly other parts of the world are willing to, in other words, move forward, even if America isn't?
Absolutely, because the world is not waiting for the America to find a new role here. The world is moving, and we need trade. We need trade agreements. We need to engage with each other. We need to set global rules and standards, and hopefully the US will join, if not now, so a little bit later.
But no waiting for the US to, so to say, catch up or share the same point of view.
They are welcome to join. We're not doing this against the US. But as I said, the world is not waiting. We are engaging with a lot of other countries because we see that there is a willingness to engage and to work together. And that's what we do.
Trade is being linked to political and security issues. Mm-hmm. You mentioned NATO as well. So has President Trump in talking about trade. Do you find that a good path to be taking?
No, it is not. And usually this security reference should not be used according to international global rules that they are setting in the World Trade Organization. And that's why we are a bit puzzled, because I think the main problem in the US is rather China. China is subsidizing some of their industries, steel, aluminium and others, state-owned enterprises. They're dumping the markets. They're not playing by the rules. So we should work together to help China to come into a more market-oriented approach to this. And we can work with the US and other partners, but we don't want to be collateral damage in that process.
Talking about China, you've praised President Xi, who has been coming out as an advocate for free trade, but you have also mentioned that you would like to see the words matched with action. What sort of actions do you want?
Well, I think the whole world was impressed by his speech a little bit more than a year ago in the Davos Forum, where he talked very much about open markets, free trade and facilitated investment. And we need to do that. But the truth is that it is quite difficult to invest in China. It is becoming increasingly difficult, as many reports and our companies are telling us. It's discriminatory, it's lack of transparency, it's not fair competition because of their many state-owned enterprises. So we would like China to be more, open up more and to welcome investments in the same way as we are welcoming investments in Europe. And we haven't seen much of the talks, of the action corresponding to the talks of the president, and also as decided in the long-term planning of the Communist Party adopted in the congresses and so on. So we still hope that there will be more action and not only talk.
Let's look also at ASEAN. Mm-hmm. An EU-ASEAN FTA. When is this going to happen?
I can't tell you exactly when it will happen because it...
That seems to be the problem with all trade deals.
Yes, but I mean, they do take time, but in the end we do deliver. But in order to have trade agreements there, you need to do a lot of preparatory work, because obviously it is something that will have to take into consideration the differences between the countries in ASEAN, Singapore and Laos, for instance. But still, it has to be ambition. It has to give real market access for us on both sides, and it has to set certain standards and rules. And we are in talks. We're not there yet, but we meet regularly to take stock on where we are. And it will happen one day, I'm convinced.
One day means a year from now? Ten years from now?
No, not a year from now. It will take some time. So in a couple of years, but I can't give you a date for this. We need to make sure that we get it right. Otherwise, we will just end in disappointment. And then there will be take longer time before we resume negotiations.
So you're talking about a couple of years?
Maybe. It depends as well on lots of other things in the world as well. And the priorities that the different actors have. Obviously, ASEAN is prioritizing their own integration process right now, so we don't want to disturb that in any way. We think that our discussion can be complementary, but it will have to take some time.
What about some of the EU businesses or European businesses here who would argue that the European Union needs to take a greater interest, actually, even in Asia? Asia is the fastest growing region in the world, contributes mm-hmm. most to growth
Indeed,
in the world. Mm-hmm. Does the European Union need to make a pivot to Asia?
There are a variety of issues where we cooperate, not only on trade, I mean on security, on research, on environment. In the meantime, we are engaging in bilateral trade agreements to build the stepping stones for a regional, which I think will facilitate. We have concluded negotiations with Singapore. I hope it will enter into force later this year. We are also concluded with Vietnam. It's still in translation. We are negotiating with Indonesia. I hope we can very soon resume talks with Malaysia. And all this will be important stepping stones to identify problems, possibilities, get to know each other, our negotiating ways. Because you're absolutely right, this is where the action is in many ways.
Let's look at some specific issues, or rather some specific products, really. Malaysia and Indonesia are some of the biggest producers of palm oil. Mm-hmm. And some would ask, why take this recent step by the EU to want to no longer use it as a biofuel? Was this decision made after you had spoken to Malaysia and Indonesia, or did you take it unilaterally?
There is no decision made yet. This was part, it's a bigger legislation on renewable. And this was an amendment by the European Parliament. Now, before this becomes a final legislation, there will be what we call trialogues between the Commission, where I work, who put the proposal, the ministers in the 28 countries, member countries, and the European Parliament. And we're not there yet. So I think this particular amendment might not survive the end outcome of this, but it's too early to say, because of course we do import palm oil, and it has actually increased. I was just checking the figures with 20% from Indonesia the last year, so we do import. The whole debate has been around how we can make this big important sector for Indonesia and Malaysia sustainable. I think the debate has been a bit toxic, but actually if you look at the facts, we are buying palm oil from both countries, and increasingly so, and we will continue to do so.
Trade Commissioner, can I just wind back? Are you saying though that in the end it may not be that this, in other words, I wouldn't say ban, but something close on mm-hmm. it, on use of palm oil for biofuels may not actually take place in the end once all the processes have been gone through?
Yes. Yeah.
So in other words, you're saying that perhaps everybody should not worry about it too much just yet?
but
it's very real. The European Parliament wants it.
Yes, but the European Parliament is one of two legislators. So let's see.
Are you saying though that the Commission is not supporting this? That the Commission is not on the same page as the
Commission?
The Commission
is making proposals, and then it is for the Member States and the Parliament to define the law. And we try to facilitate that. That specific proposal was not in our original
proposal. Okay, so the Commission actually had not made that proposal that come from Parliament, but you are obliged to implement it if it does get...
Well, everybody is, yes. That's how parliaments work, and that's how laws are made.
Yeah.
But let's see.
So you will be in talks then with the Indonesian's trade minister and the Malaysian trade minister?
Absolutely. We are meeting regularly, both we are talking to each other on this specific. We have been exchanging letters, trying to clarify. Our ambassadors are in contact. We have a very open and transparent dialogue on this.
Because for some companies within Malaysia and Indonesia, their counter-argument would be that, of course, it's not perfect in this area, but is this not really more of, a pushback by European manufacturers who are very large producers of rapeseed and other forms of oils, which are also used for the very same purpose? In other words, it may be less virtuously environmentally conscious and rather have a dollar and cents on it as well.
Well, both of these products are part of biofuels. So the question is how we use it and how they can reuse and their waste.
But there is sometimes a difference between attitudes about where you want to draw the lines. The European Union seems to be drawing some fairly sort of tough lines concerning environment, mm-hmm. Concerning conditions in which the trade is done, for how it's produced. Mm. Is this not putting up some barriers as well? If you're going to be extremely stringent about how the whole structure of the country is before you do trade with them, whether you think they're democratic or they're not, and so on.
Well, a trade agreement cannot make a country, more or less democratic. But the citizens of the European Union, and I think also here in Singapore and all across the world, they think that trade is good, but it has to be done in a fair way. They want to know that they're not children making this. They want to know that people in the factory have the right to organize themselves. They want to know that the ecological footprint of a processed product is fair. And we are not going to invent new standards. We have international conventions that most countries of the world have signed up. But these are the ones we are talking about.
Do you think you're going to have, in fact, a much tougher negotiations to go through in the coming years because of what seems to be an apparent sort of drawing up of bridges in various parts of the world? Many companies in Southeast Asia, they're most concerned about Brexit. And from an outsider's point of view, it all just seems extremely messy. Would it be possible for you to explain? I don't mean the entire process, but can we just make it very simple and just say, if you're talking to a Southeast Asian manufacturer at the moment, and I have my offices and I have my manufacturing in the UK at the moment, would you say to me that it would be a good idea for me to move to continental Europe because we don't know the outcome of Brexit?
Well, the outcome of Brexit will be that the Brits will be leaving the European Union. That is a very sad fact. I'm personally very sad about this, but that is the decision by the British people. It can look messy, and I think I would agree it is a little bit messy because we don't have all the parameters of this exit yet. But the UK will leave the European Union. It will have left in the 1st of April 2019. We don't have full clarity from London yet on what they really have in mind as their future position. There will be some kind of trade agreement between the EU and the UK, obviously, and the contours of all that will be clearer this spring.
But doesn't this make it just very difficult matter for any company doing business, employing people,
yes,
trading, to make a decision over for what's going to happen over the next few years?
Yes, but that is the decision of a referendum in the UK.
And you've said also yourself that there cannot be a frictionless trade relations with the UK after Brexit. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, not totally, because totally seamless trade can only happen in an internal market, and they will be leaving the internal market. Almost frictionless trade can happen in a customs union. And the UK have said that would not be part of a customs union. So obviously we will have to find another solution and some kind of deep and comprehensive free trade agreement.
But some kind of deep free trade agreement is something that you would foresee?
That is again something that the prime ministers of the European Union will have to agree with the Prime Minister Theresa May on what kind of trade agreement. But of course, I mean, the UK, they are our neighbour, they are our friend. We trade with them today, we will trade tomorrow. So somehow we will find a way here.
An overall picture now. Do you think you're going to have, in fact, a much tougher thing, you know, much tougher negotiations to go through in the coming years because of what seems to be an apparent sort of drawing up of bridges in various parts of the world?
Well, yes and no. What we have also seen as a reaction to protectionist moves in some countries is also a counter reaction by other countries saying that, hey, we like trade. Trade is a good thing. Trade can be a formidable force of good and lifting people out of poverty. And we can do it well. We can do it so you win and I win. We can do it in a sustainable way, in a transparent way, inclusive, and also making sure that we have our values in there, so that it is efficient, that it is sustainable, that we make reference to international conventions on labour standards and environmental standards. And there's a sort of circle of friends coming up there who want to do trade agreements like this. So in a way, it has been easier the last 6 months, I would say, to sit around the table. We believe in multilateral rules, international organization, global transparent rules, because we need to stand up when the forces of anti-globalization and anti-trade are blowing. Here in Singapore, you have seen, I mean, your country is built on trade and you've been open to the world and you have really taken the most out of this. So we have a lot to learn from you. But also in the European Union, we have seen how good trade can be to unite people as well and to tear down walls and to build bridges. And that's something that more and more countries are realizing as well.
Trade Commissioner, thank you very much for being on Conversation With.
Thank you, it was a pleasure.